أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيرة ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم فلم تغن عنكم شيئا وضاقت عليكم الأرض بما رحبت ثم وليتم مدبرين ثم أنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين وأنزل جنودا لم تروها وعذب الذين كفروا وذلك جزاء الكافرين ثم يتوب الله من بعد ذلك على من يشاء والله غفور رحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما المشركون نجس فلا يقربوا المسجد الحرام بعد عامهم هذا وإن خفتم عيلة فسوف يغنيكم الله من فضله إن شاء إن الله عليم حكيم. Without doubt, Allah Ta'ala had helped you on many occasions, and including the day of Hunain, when your numbers had elated you, and this numbers of yours was of no avail to you, and the earth, in spite of its wideness, had constrained upon you, and then you turned away in retreat. Then did Allah Ta'ala send down His tranquility on His Rasul, on the believers, and send down a force that you could not see. And He punished the unbelievers, and such is the punishment of the unbelievers. And again, Allah Ta'ala turned His mercy, after all this, Allah Ta'ala turned His mercy to those of His believers that He pleases. And Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful. After the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, the Hawazin tribes, stretching from Taif right till Banu Saqif, amongst the most fierce of tribes amongst the Arabs, very well armed and very experienced fighters. They had the numbers, they had the weapons, and they were very well trained. They felt to themselves that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received a very beautiful reception at Makkah Mukarrama. He just marched over the Quraysh. And we, being a mighty force, a mighty tribe, it is likely that he will march towards us. So it is prudent that we initiate the attack and we complete them out, wipe them out, without them even thinking of us. In the meanwhile, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had heard about this, and the Sahaba-i-Kiram that had come for the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, eighth year of the Hijrat, they had all joined with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards Hunain, where both the armies were scheduled to meet. For the first time, the Muslims were so great in number, approximately thrice the numbers of their enemies. They were approximately 12,000, when the unbelievers were 4,000. The leader of the enemy, he announced amongst his people that we should come in with our wives, our children, and all our livestock. As though the wife, the children, and the livestock may be a chain on the feet, and if they even think of retreating, then this will become a chain in the feet, they will never think of running away. Nonetheless, they had assembled at this point at Hunain, These people were quite well acquainted with the terrain, mountainous terrain. They could take their places, conceal themselves in ambush. And as soon as the Muslim army had entered the mountainous terrain, these people took them by surprise, unawares. There was some confusion, disarray in the ranks of the believers. For some time they had retreated until Rasulullah had instructed Abbas radiallahu to announce and ask the Sahaba-i Kiram to return. Rasulullah, in all this confusion, was calm as ever, overcome with tranquility and still moving in the direction of the enemy least affected. This wording of the believers Allah Ta'ala was not pleased with, is a'jabatkum kathratukum. On that day, the Muslims looked at their numbers and reflecting over the numbers, they thought that today we cannot be defeated. On account of our numbers, superiority of our strength, we can never be wiped out today. It is just a matter of we encountering with the enemy and we will crush them. This was not the way of Islam, not the way that Allah Ta'ala approves, and not the way that Nabi Sallam teaches. The reliance shouldn't be on numbers, shouldn't be on your superior, on the superiority of your strength, human resources, etc. Rather, it should be purely on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, like was the case in Badr and numerous other occasions. You were few, and then you relied, and your confidence was entirely on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and that was the thing that had brought you that success. Your stability and firmness, together with that, your reliance and confidence on Allah Ta'ala alone. So Allah Ta'ala says, when you relied on your numbers, then these numbers of yours was of no avail to you. And the earth seemed to be constrained in spite of its wideness. So everything turned around against you, setting the record straight for the believers that in future you need to ensure that you don't reflect over your numbers, superiority of your strength, human resources and wealth. Rather, you need to place your confidence and reliance on Allah Ta'ala alone and beg His mercy with firmness and with taqwa. These are the recipes or the prescriptions of war, prescriptions of progress and success. Nonetheless, Rasulullah had asked Abbas radiallahu, the Sahaba Kiram once again came back to the battlefield. Now the war became so fierce that the enemy could not sustain the loss that they were going through, and they had retreated, ran away. Even the leader, Malik ibn Auf, he had run away with the entire enemy, with the entire force. He had run away and taken refuge at the fortress in Taif. Rasulullah had laid a siege against the fortresses, but these people would not come out, and they shot arrows from above. Nonetheless, someone asked Rasulullah to curse them. Rasulullah did not curse them, rather made dua, Allah Ta'ala guide them and bring them to Islam. Rasulullah in the meanwhile, he had left the siege and moved towards Jirana, contemplating making Umrah before the return to Medina Munawwara. Here 14 of the leaders of the Hawazin, Hunain and Banu Saqif, these people had approached Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they explained the difficulty that they had gone through. Their wives, their children, all were left whilst these people escaped, so they were left at the mercy of the believers, their livestock, their wealth, because they brought everything to war. So everything worked out so well for the Muslims that Muslims didn't have to go and look out for these things. Everything was just found in one plane. Approximately 20,000 camels, 40,000 sheep, and several kilos of gold and silver. All these things were taken as the spoils of war. Now Rasulullah was camped here at Jirana, and these people sent in their delegations for talks. Amongst them was one of the milk uncles of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So obviously the approach, this dialogue became slightly emotional, where they showed the relationship, etc. So Rasulullah explained to them, in my presence, the best thing is truth and honesty. To talk around in a diplomatic manner, that's not my way. My way is a way of honesty and truth. So there are one of two options that I offer you. Either you take your livestock and your wealth that we have taken away from you, or you take back your wives and your children. One of the two things, you have got an option to choose from one of the two as you please. In the meanwhile, Rasulullah had announced this in the Sahaba Ikram, that this is the delegation that has come in, and this is the proposals that I have made to them. And if it is that they are consenting, then with their consent, then we can return this wealth to them. Rasulullah made it clear to the Sahaba Ikram as well, that this wealth belongs to you really, you strived for it, so you are the right recipients. When you are the right recipients, then you have got all the right to claim this wealth. But if you forgo your rights, then this will be appreciated. And if anybody wants anything in lieu of the rights that he has forgiven, then we are prepared to do this as well. And in one voice, in a single voice, all the Sahaba Ikram agreed and consented that this wealth, their children and their wives, etc., should be returned to them. Rasulullah announced to them again for the second time that this is a huge gathering, 12,000 of you people here. We do not know who is giving his consent willingly and who feels that he is being coerced into consenting. So you go back to your camps and then deliberate, think about it. If you still feel confident about this, then your representative of each tribe, he will come and express their feelings, the responses of their people. Two very important lessons come out in this entire incident. One is this, that at no time Muslims should have confidence, reliance on their numbers, superiority of strength and might, human resources and wealth. Rather, their confidence must be in Allah Ta'ala alone. Two things normally win the situation, whichever situation you are in. One is the firmness of your cause with the taqwa, and number two, reliance in Allah Ta'ala. You can't shirk away, you can't waver. If you remain firm and strong on the stance that you have taken with taqwa and righteousness, and number two, a very great, a high level of confidence and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing besides that, not on your numbers, not on human resources, not on anything else. The second thing we learn is the spoils of war. Now, rightfully, it belonged to the Sahaba Ikram. The wives, the children, etc., all that became like the spoils of the war. And when it became the spoils of the war, then it is the property of the participants of war. Rasulullah wanted to return all this. When he wanted to return this, then not without the consent of the participants. And then just not a superficial, a surface level of consent. Really want to know exactly, are you really happy about returning this, or you are doing this just because you feel coerced into accepting? Therefore, he asked them to return to their camps, deliberate the whole thing, reflect over the whole thing, and then too they feel confident, clear of giving their consent in returning everything, then we will accept this. So we also understand the need for the clarity of our dealings and our interaction. Any work that is done jointly, it needs transparency. If there's anything that is ambiguous, anything that is concealed, then obviously this doing it concealed, anything that is supposed to be done together and is done concealed, there is some ambiguity about it. This ambiguity creates suspicions and doubts in the leaders and the forerunners. People begin to feel doubtful, they have suspicions, they have reservations. When they have that reservation and doubt, then you cannot expect them to have the same type of spirit for the work as they had had initially. So the work has to be done with total transparency. Number two, with reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firmly. And number three, we need to understand that we need to be firm at all times, not wavering and looking for convenience at any time. So when the Sahaba Kiram had consented, then that wealth was returned to these people. Meanwhile, these people had accepted Islam later on. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ. Eventually, Allah Ta'ala had granted Rasulullah and the Sahaba Kiram the upper hand over these people. Allah Ta'ala sent down His special sakina and tranquility on the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the believers, and He sent down an army that you cannot see. And He, after all this, He turned with mercy towards whomsoever He pleases. The gates, floodgates of Hidayat had opened out for the Hawazin, and all of them, the last one of them, men, women and children, they had all been overwhelmed with the greatness, the glory of Islam. All of them accepted Islam without exception. So when we come onto Hidayat, onto the right path, onto the path of taqwa, righteousness, with firmness and confidence in Allah Ta'ala, then these are the keys for the gates of Hidayat to open. And when the gates of Hidayat open, then things we could not imagine, we could not perceive, how will things work out, how will Hidayat spread, Allah Ta'ala will open these gates. All we need to do is make sure that are we holding on to these requirements as though they are the teeth in the key. The teeth need to be right for the key to be able to work and open those gates. And that is, like I explained earlier, reliance in Allah Ta'ala and firmness, stability of purpose. And number three, at all times we persevere and we commit ourselves to the sunnah and to the way of taqwa. Let's give us tawfiq.